Let's start here at the bottom of Kufta Aleinu Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom, Tanya. Bejame omrim mikaneach, Beit Hillel omrim medi'ach. When it comes to going between the different types of meals that you could have, milk and meat, then Beit Shammai requires kinuach, Beit Hillel requires hadacha. So here, when we're talking about mikaneach and medi'ach, it's a machloket, actually Rashi and the Tosafot on the next top of the next amud, which one of them is a more in-depth cleaning. But we're talking about here, mikaneach is some sort of wiping off, cleansing of the mouth, and medi'ach is some sort of rinsing. So my mikaneach, my medi'ach. Ilema Beit Shammai omrim mikaneach velo medi'ach. That the thought would be here is that Beit Shammai requires kinuach, but does not require medi'ach. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim medi'ach velo bay mikaneach. That he requires hadacha, but not kinuach. They're mutually exclusive. That each one of them requires what they say, but not the others. Elahadam Rabbi Zeira, then the statement of Rabbi Zeira is an amora, in kinuach pe elo bepat, that the only way to do kinuach is through pat. That statement would be alibo de Beit Shammai. That means Rabbi Zeira is making a statement, shalo alibo de hilchata, because then he's only following Beit Shammai. Come on, it would only be like Beit Shammai. Ela, what you have to say is, Beit Shammai omrim mikaneach velo beimidiach, that it's kinuach that is required, but not hadacha. Utel omim af midiach, you can even do hadacha. Tosfot says that adacha is a stronger form, whereas Rashi over here says, mekaneach is piv, you wipe your mouth, and then mediach, according to Rashi, is with water, remind, shei kinuach yafeh min hadacha. That kinuach is a stronger form of cleansing than the hadacha, although Tosfot takes issue and says the other way around. Hadacha is a stronger form than kinuach, and that's why Beit Hillel would require, it says, not only kinuach, but also hadacha.
That's a good question.
It's a machloket Rishonim. We'll see in a second. So then, Avilei Kule Mikule Beit Shammai Umechumre Beit Hillel. So now you ended up with something that is from one of the kulot to Beit Shammai and the Chumre Beit Hillel. Velitne Gabi Kule Beit Shammai Mechumre Beit Hillel. How come this didn't make the list? This didn't make the list of Mishnayot that are listed where, or Brayta, where we say that Beit Shammai is Mekil. Ela Beit Shammai Omrim Mikaneach V'Odin LeMediach. This is Ukinuach. Yes, we do mediach. Beit Hillel omrim mediach v'odin mekaneach. So what does that mean? That they both require both. So mar machado v'lo plige. They each say one, and they're not arguing. They agree that you can use. Now this is the question that Tzvi asked before. What does that mean? Does that mean you can use either, or does that mean and you must use both? And that is a machloket Rishonim over here. Whether you require. When we say over here, mikaneach v'hu adin the mediach, does that mean v'hu adin that you must also do mediach? Or hu adin means that mediach and kinuach are equal, and either one would be sufficient. That's a machloket Rishonim. Some differentiate between basar and oaf. In the Achronim, it's also machloket about the order. If you do kinuach and hadacha, is there any requirement in the order? Something down that you have to do kinuach then hadacha, but b'di'evit, if you do it the other way around, doesn't matter. By Basar, when it's a din d'oraito, then you would have to do both the kinuach then hadacha, whereas by oaf, it won't matter. But we have the differences and opinions that we're generally knowing to do both. We do a kinuach and hadacha, do it, for instance, on every Friday night, people have fish as appetizers in the meal. So before they move from the fish to the meat, they have to cleanse out their mouth, they have to clean out their mouth, and in order to do that, we do what's called kinuach and hadacha. One is to rinse out with liquids, the other one is to do the eat something hard or solid that causes or dislodges anything that's in there. So there are those that say you should first do the kinuach, you should do the thing that dislodges the materials, then the hadacha, the rinsing, out of the mouth, because that'll wash down all the loose particles that are there. Others say it doesn't make a difference which order that you use it in. Alright, Gufa, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Ein kinuach hapeh ela bepat. When you do kinuach hapeh, you have to use bread. If it has to be wheat bread, if it's barley bread, not. Has to be cold bread. If it's warm bread, it gets stuck, it collects in the palate, it gets stuck in your teeth in the palate, and then it's not cleansing, it's just getting stuck there. That's only soft. If it's hard bread, it also doesn't work. You need something that has not hard, not too soft and not too hard. It's to be something in the middle that will be able to cleanse out the mouth. Ve'ilchatodoloch is, b'chol meili habi kinuach. Kinuach is in any way, the bar mikimcho, tamrei v'yirako. It has to be any of these, any item will work as a kinuach. Anything that you eat or chew on will be fine in terms of a kinuach, except for a kimcha, which is flour, tamre, or dates, and yurak over here, I assume, are not raw vegetables, but cooked vegetables where they are soft. They're too soft to provide any benefit. They get stuck in your teeth and your palate as well. So they won't provide the cleansing that we're looking for. So we're looking for something that's solid, that will, when you chew on it, dislodge anything that's in there. And then the hadakha, which is that rinsing that we saw again in Avodah Zarah and other places, is to drink something afterwards to wash away those loose particles or anything that's in there so that one's mouth is cleansed. So now, get down to the core. Bamine Rabbasim Rabbi Yochanan, Kami Yisheb in Basar L'Gvina. How long do you have to wait between meat and milk? Samar Leva Lo Klum. You don't have to wait at all. Ini? Vamar Rav Chista Ochol Basar Asur L'Chol Gvina. If you eat meat, you can't eat milk. Gvina. On the other hand, if you eat milk, you can't eat meat. Now the question is, how long do you have to wait between milk and meat? You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait between milk and meat. So now that's just to finish that off, we'll go back to the other question, which is the question of how much you have to wait between meat and milk. But waiting between milk and meat, the assumption is that you don't have to wait at all. You have to do the kinuach v'hadacha that we just mentioned before. That'd be all that is required. There are deot, Rama brings down, the gabay, hard cheeses. That if one eats hard cheeses, that they may have a different din than milk in general. Milk products and milk items you could have, you don't have to wait at all. But there are some that want to say that by hard cheeses, that you would have to wait the same amount you wait between meat and milk. That what we're discussing here is just softer milk or cheese products, not the hard cheeses that have a din like basar.
But like mozzarella and hard cheese.
If you have a question, what is hard cheese and how do you get to hard cheese? That's a separate issue. The other thing is that there are other minhagim about waiting, which mostly come out of the Zohar, not out of the Gemara. The Gemara here seems to think that lo klum, that you do not have to wait at all. Zohar talks about waiting an hour or wait. And therefore, any halachot that revolve around waiting after milk really are derived from the Kabbalistic side, not from the Gemara itself.
What if you just drink milk? Do you still have to...
By liquid. By liquids, you might only have to do hadacha. All right, kufa. I'm Rav Chista, achal basar, asur lechol gvina. Eat meat, you can't have milk afterwards. Gvina, mutar lechol basar. I'm alei Rav Acha, Rav Yosef, Rav Chista, basar shebein ha-shinayim mau. Meat that's caught between your teeth, what's the din? So karalei, a basar adinu ben shinayim. Pasuk by the slav says that the meat was caught between their teeth and then they die. So you see that which is between their teeth is still called basar. So I'm Rav Rukva, anal ha-milta. With regards to this issue, I am chala bar chamra. Gabi Abba, I'm vinegar, the son of wine. I mean, that my father was good wine, and I'm wine that spoiled, fermented, and became vinegar. Why is that? Zilu Abba, by my father, Kiava Ochel Bisra, when he would eat meat, Ibna, today, Lovel Gvina, Adamachar Kiashta. He wouldn't wait, he'd wait 24 hours before he ate milk. 24 hours of waiting. Vilu Ano, me, I just won't eat in that meal. As long as I start a new meal, I'm fine. I will eat milk after meat. So I only waited till the next suda. He waited 24 hours. What Shaul is mentioning is the very famous Musar, which is that if it was his father's minhag, what was the shaila? Why didn't he keep his father's minhag? So he says that it was clear that what his father did was a chumra yateira. It was extremely chumra. And he says, until you have the basics down, we don't add on chumrot. So he didn't feel like he had enough of the basics down that he was going to do the chumri yateira of his father. In Ochanami, if he was up to par and everything else, he said he would have done the chumri yateira. But he wasn't up to par. He had to work on the more of the basics before he got to the chumri yateira. There's no advantage in doing super duper chumras when you're missing the basics or the fundamentals. And that's a big musa that comes out of this statement. The question, of course, is, now what do we have? How much time do you have to wait now between meat and milk? So the first question is, why do you have to wait between meat and milk? Why can't I eat meat and then just eat milk? The restriction in the Torah is lo tovei geshel gedi, v'chalev imo, it has to do with bishul, it has to do with cooking milk and meat together. Over here, there's no cooking going on, so what's the issue? What, you're afraid that he's going to put in hot milk. While he has meat in his mouth, he's going to put in hot milk and there would be some bishul? Fine, so don't eat them together. Eat them one after the other. Great. Why do you have to wait at all? What's going on? So Rashi says the reason that you have to wait asur lechol gvina after basar is mishum de basar motzi shuman. Basar leaves a residue of fat, v'hu nidbak v'peh, sticks to the mouth of marich v'tamo, and its flavor stays around for a long time. that flavor stays around and it doesn't disappear. We have a very similar thing in the din of kashering knives and so on and so forth, where if a knife is used to cut basar, afterwards it's not enough just to rinse it off. One has to do some sort of shifshu. You have to actually do an abrasive type of cleaning because of the shuman, the fats that get caught on the knife. And those fats remain there, they're residual there, and will cause problems in terms of imparting flavor. So the same idea here. Basar leaves a residual flavor that doesn't go away so fast. It takes time for it to dissipate. That's Rashi's limud of why you have to wait to eat milk after meat. The Rambam takes on the other piece of our Gemara and says, no, the reason you have to wait after meat is because of basar oden bin shenihem. You see that meat that gets caught between the teeth still has a classification of meat. So what we're afraid of here is that you chew on meat and it gets stuck between your teeth, and therefore there are pieces of meat that are residual in your mouth, and you'll come to eat milk and meat together if you put milk in while that is still caught between your teeth. And that's from the previous part of the Gemara, which is a basar odena ben shenehem. The nafkamina between them that's brought by everybody is what happens if you chew something and then spit it out. According to the Rambam, if you chew something and spit it out, you have a problem still of basar. The problem is it's getting caught in your teeth. If you chew on it, you got it caught in your teeth. According to Rashi, the issue is ingesting and taking in, that it leaves a residual within the mouth and the throat when you swallow it, and that won't be there. If you just chew something quickly and spit it out, you won't have that residual in your mouth. That flavor, that tom won't be there afterwards. Technically, if you could ensure that everything was gone, then yeah, I guess you wouldn't have to wait, according to the Rambam. I don't think we generally are sumech on that, that people will do a good job cleaning their mouth. So that's the one issue. All right, so the next question, which is, what does it mean to wait to the next suda? So that brings us to our next stage is, okay, we understand why you have to wait. So what is misuda the suda? So if you look at Tosfot, Tosfot says a suda tchinta. We're not talking about a suda in the morning, a suda in the evening. El afil la'altar, right away. Uberach, if you make a bracha, mutar v'lo plog rabbanan. We don't make any differentiation. Don't make it all. When's the next suda? I'll tell you when the next suda. The next suda is, when you finish this suda, you can bring in the next suda. Rishonei Sfarad, general, say no, that they say what Tosfos is Havamina, what he rejects it, that's what they do. They say that, we see in the Gemara and other places, that people go typically eat in the morning, and then again in the evening, which are about 6 hours apart. And therefore, they think that the amount of time that you have to wait, Ben Basar B'Chalav, is 6 hours, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch codifies it, is that you wait 6 hours between the time that you had the first meal and the next meal, because that's Ben Sudata L'Sudata. Between typical meals, your typical Shachrit meal and Arvit meal, is 6 hours, and therefore you wait 6 hours. The Rambam, on the other hand, brings down, Ben Sudata L'Sudata is exactly like Tosfot says over here. He does give a minimum standard of an hour. He says the practice is to wait an hour. That's the time between the suda sudata, but hey, no agim came. He says that's our minimum, to only wait an hour. Then he says afterwards that there are some who wait 6 hours, and that's not such a bad idea. No, machmer, it's fine. But that's the people who wait the 6 hours. The minhag of 3 hours, right, does not have a lot of basis in halacha. There aren't any of the rishonim or the poskim that really bring down 3 hours. Doesn't seem to be a lot of basis of it. There is possibly a, right, it's a compromise between, right, it's a chatzishir, right, so you have 3 hours. Other minhag that has a difficult placement is the 5+ hours, which is, do you have to wait a full 6 hours or just into the 6th hour? So that minhag also has not a lot of standing in terms of halacha. Pretty clear for most of the poskim that we're talking about is 6 hours, not into the 6th hour. There are those that are mekil b'shat adchak, the 6 hours, it's saying, oh, that's generally when people eat between two meals. So do we make that an exact time, or do we say that's roughly 6 hours? So those that say roughly 6 hours are posting like Rav Moshe and others who say that b'shat adchak, if you really need it, then you can use that the 5 hours plus, or 5.5 hours plus, that gets close to 6 hours, then they're not so in favor of doing this, but they say that b'shat adchak, that you can't do it. Obviously, the reason not to do this is that you should have a standard that we always have with the Chachamim. We try to have a fixed standard. We try to take away the subjectivity of these things, so that not everybody's trying to figure out, oh, this is what my da-da-da, but rather there's a fixed time, which is 6 hours. The last question is, when do you count the 6 hours from? Do you count the 6 hours from the last time you eat meat? Or do you count 6 hours from the completion of the suda? That's a machloket achronim, whether you have to wait 6 hours from the last time you ate meat, or 6 hours from the last time you suda. I think the general practice is to wait 6 hours from the time we last ate meat, and not from the end of the suda. So. I don't think the Mikra Din, that's just a kula in general, or Mekil the Gabe Of, so maybe that's why he's willing to be Mekil by Gabe Of. There are questions about the 6 hours, whether 6 hours Shad Zamaniot or 6 hours real hours. I think, again, the general practice is to keep full 60-minute hours, not shaod zmaniyot, depending on what time of year, that could work to your advantage or disadvantage. I'm like vinegar to wine with regards to my father. My father used to look over his possessions to see what they needed twice a day. Twice a day, he used to take a tour of the plant and the facilities, see that everything was okay. I'm a little lazy, I only go around once a day. So, Abba de Shmuel, who was actually one of the bridges in the period between the Tanaim and Amoraim, he's one of those that sits right on that tefer, on the line between Tanaim and Amoraim. He went twice a day. Me, Shmuel, I only go once a day. Shmuel de Tamei, Damer Shmuel, Man de Sayer Nichsei, Koyoma Mishka Chastire. Anybody who does a tour of their possessions and everything that's being done on their behalf, once a day, he saves money. He finds a coin every day. It means I found money to go and look around. Abayi was checking out his possessions every day. Yomachad pagobarise. He bumped into one of his sharecroppers, the Dari Pitcha Dufe, who's carrying a bundle of wood on his shoulder. Amalei, Hani Lahecha, where are you heading off with that bundle of wood over there? Amalei, Lepeimar, I was just bringing them over to your house. Didn't you know? He says, Amalei, Kvarkad Much Rabbanan. The Rabbanan already were wise to your ways, and that's why I'm taking a look around my property, and that's why the wood's heading back to my house, and not going to your house right now, because generally you would steal from me, but the fact that I followed the Divrei Chachamim to check my possessions once a day, I saved myself that money because I found that wood. Ravasi of his sire Nichsei Koyoma. Ravasi also took a tour of his possessions each day. I said, I haven't found all these coins that Marshmall is talking about. I go around every day. And everything seems to be fine, and I haven't made any money going around. He's about to give up this tour every day, Bittul Torah. Why am I doing this? I'm not gaining anything from it. Yomachad, Chazat Sinora Debadko Be'arei. Oh, all of a sudden one day he sees the irrigation channel going towards his field is overflowing with water, and they're about to flood his field that has fruits in it and ruin the entire crop. Shakle the Glime, he took his cloak, and Karche Otzvei Begava. He ran over there, plugged the irrigation channel with his coat to block the water temporarily. Ramakala screams, help, help, help. Atu Inche, a whole bunch of people come. Sachrua, they close it in. And then says, at that moment, Amar, Ashkechintu dukuli istari de Marshmuel. On this day, I found all those coins that Marshmuel was talking about. I found them today. And that it saved him his whole crop here by going around and looking at his possessions to see what they needed. It's important to stay on top of one's possessions to ensure that they are treated properly, taken care of properly, and they produce in the right manner. Alright, so I'm Rav Yidi Barabin, I'm Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashian. Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah, V'achronim Chuvah. So Mayim Rishonim before the meal, too, are a mitzvah, because of Srach Chuma, mitzvah Chachamim to do that, you have to make a brach on it. Achronim are Chuvah, and therefore we do not make a brach on it. That's the way the Halachot Gedolot explains it. The difference between mitzvah and chuvah being that by a mitzvah you make a bracha, by a chuvah, because it's mishum, we'll see in a second, sakana, therefore we don't make a bracha on it. We have another brayta that says, Rishonim and Achronim are chuvah. Emtzayim reshut. The ones in the middle of the meal are reshut. So the way it says, mitzvah, the guy reshut, chuvah karele. Now it's really a mitzvah, but when you're looking in relative terms, it is compared to reshut, which is optional. Optional versus mitzvah, that's called a chuvah. But not that it's literally a chuvah, but it's just in relationship to the reshut and the emsa. Why are you washing your hands in the middle of the meal? So we'll get back to that. Well, the Rashi says, aval ben tavshu shel basar de gvina shel lefanav chuvah. Suggests that you're washing hands in the middle of the meal between courses. Ben basar the basar, ben gvina the gvina, you're washing between courses. That's why you wash your hands. That's a reshut if you want to do it. Tosafot on the next amud takes issue with Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam. Says, why do you have to wash your hands between courses? What's the big deal? If you're eating meat to meat, why do you have to wash your hands in between? That doesn't make any sense. So rather, Tosafot says that it's talking about between gvina and basar. You ate milk and then you want to switch over to basar, that you have to wash your hands in between. I'm assuming, and this is probably the halacha this way, that's because they ate with their hands. When you eat with your hands, if you come into contact with the milk or the cheese, then we don't want you eating meat without washing your hands. Today, that we use utensils to eat the food, as long as you're not pushing the food with your hands, meaning that your hands aren't coming into contact with the food, you're not eating with your hands themselves, then you would not require washing of the hands because the use of the utensils. You would require the washing of the utensil, technically, meaning that if that was the same utensil we're going to use. But we obviously switch our utensils for milk and meat, but using a utensil obviates the need for washing one's hand in between the milk and the meat. Gufa, mayim rishonim v'achronim chovah, emtzayim reshut. Rishonim notlim ben b'kli Ben agabi karko. The Rishonim, you can wash even into a kli or into onto the floor. Achronim, you have to do kli. The Rishonim, you have to do into another kli. So amalila inu kli agabi karko. And some say you don't do mayim achronim onto the ground. Ma benayu. What's the difference between having to do it into a kli or not doing it on the ground? Yigunayu kinsa. If you have twigs or you have loose wood on the ground, then you're washing onto it. So if the one who says that ain't notalin al gabi karka, then you're not being notal al gabi karka, it's fine. The one who says you have to be notal l'tol kli, this is in a kli, and therefore this won't qualify. Mayim rishonim notalin ben b'chamim ben b'tzoneim. Mayim rishonim, you have to wash, whether you can wash with hot water or cold water. Achonim notalin ela b'tzoneim. I'm not going to wash with cold water, because the hot water causes the hands to expand. They do not remove the dirt that's there, but rather they cause it to be absorbed into the skin, rather than to remove that which is there. Okay, mayim rishonim notlim ben bechamim ben mitzoneim. Rabbi Yisko bar Yosef, Rabbi Yana, lo shanu ela she'ina yad tzoled ben. We're talking about warm water. We're not talking about hot water that is scalding hot, that your hand recoils from it, that you can't wash mayim rishonim with. You have to wash with, you can wash with cold water or warm water, you can't wash with hot water, which if you use hot water that your hand recoils from, then you're not going to wash your hands properly. So that you can't use for mayim rishonim. But yeah, so let it bang, ain't no dim behem. Vika, the matli law safe, some say they're on the safe. Achronim, ain't no dim elabitzonain, above bechamim lo. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yana, lo shana, lo shayat so let it bang. We say you can't use hot water for mayim achronim, that's boiling hot water, because that causes the absorption. Above, ain't a yat so let it bang, no dim. Just warm water, then you can use it. Michlal, the implications from here are that Rishonim, alpha bisha yat so let it bang, mutar. That, if even if it was yat so let it bow, you would be allowed to use them for mayim Rishonim. Again, here you can see that the Rambam quotes the Halacha that way, but the general practice is not to use hot water that you have to let it boil because of that problem of pull your hand away, then you're really not going to wash your hands. Mitzayim Rishut, the middle ones are a Rishut. Am Rav Nachman lo shono ela ben tavshil to tavshil. It's only between tavshil to tavshil. Aval ben tavshil to gvina, chuvah. But if you're going between tavshil and then gvina, then it's a chuvah. That's where this machloket Rashi is. Aval ben tavshil shel basar the gvina shel lefanav chuvah. When we're talking about here, aval ben tavshil, the quote over here is the ma'ariv shnem shel basar shnem shel gvina. The Tosfot comes up. The Rashi says, what does it mean ben tavshil to tavshil? Between meat and meat, other meat. So if you're having one meat and then another piece of meat or different types of meat, you have to wash in between. That's reshut. That's optional. But ben tavshil the gvina, you want to eat milk afterwards. That's a chuvah. You got to wash your hands off. So Meir Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashi says, "Aval ben tavshil shel basar the gvina shel lefanav chovah." They're both milk or they're both meat. That's what it means. Ben tavshil l'tavshil. That's a reshut. Aval ben tavshil shel basar the gvina shel lefanav. Over here, I read it. The pashtus of the Gemara is that you're talking about between meat and then milk afterwards. Rabbeinu Shmuel says, no. What's talking about here is when you're having a tavshil after you had milk, because that's the only time you're allowed to eat directly afterwards. You can eat meat directly after milk. So not only do you need kinuach and hadocha, you also need rechitzat yadayim. You have to wash your hands. So that would be the third thing that you would need over here. That's according to Rabbeinu Shmuel. Alal gvina shalacharav lo kamar. Dafilu mitzilat yadayim asur lechol al tzud acheret. Washing your hands is not going to help when you're talking about meat to milk, because you need a tzud acheret. Forget about washing your hands. There's a whole other qualification that you need here. It says, Vein Nirol Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. The ben tavshil gvina mashma tavshil tchila. Sounds like that tavshil came first. The order of the Gemara, like I read it. A ben tavshil gvina chova. So therefore, both ben tavshil tavshil b'shnehem shel basar shel gvina lama yishol itol klal. Why do you have to wash your hands between different courses of the meal? Who washes their hands? Mfarish Rabbeinu Tam, the ben tavshil tavshil benu tavshil de basar the tavshil shel gvina. The ben tavshil tavshil over here is between meat, milk, and then meat. You have to wash your hands. You came in dana basar vagvina be'en. Then, since they're not intact, leke elatam lo yichmir shei chovah litol yadav b'entayim. Over there, you don't have to wash your hands. It's only a reshut. So we're talking about a tavshil of basar and a tavshil of gvina. We're talking about milk that's coming after meat. But over here, we're not talking about absolute meat and absolute cheese. We're talking about a tavshil of basar and a tavshil of gvina. Something that has a tam basar in it, something that has a tam gvina in it. There it's a reshut. Right. If it doesn't have the literally chicken, if you don't have the chicken in it. Things that are tavshil, those are reshut. Of a ben tavshil, the basar, the gvina. If you had a chicken soup without the chicken, and then you had real cheese afterwards, shagvina be'en chova. Then it's a chova. And that's what the differentiation over here. The Rabbeinu Tam makes the definition between tavshil to tavshil. Versus tavshil the gvina. That's the difference that he's differentiating over here. If you're talking about the actual item versus a tavshil, whether you require the netilat yadayim, one instance it's going to be a reshut, the other instance it's going to be a chuvah. So that's the machloket here about what it means ben tavshil to tavshil according to the Rashbam. is that you have to wash between courses. And then bentavshel gvina is from milk to meat, you have to wash. That's the way the Rashbam learns it. Rabbeinu Tam says two problems with that. One is, the Gemara says meat to milk. And number two is, why do you have to wash between courses? So Rabbeinu Tam says no, that the answer is bentavshel, tavshel is between meat and then milk. Tavshel to tavshel, you gotta wash your hands in between them. And then the chova is when you're having between tavshel basar, something that is tam basar, to gvina itself, to milk itself, when you're actually gonna literally eat milk afterwards, then there's a chova to wash in between them. And I'm assuming that means not in the same suda.
What is his issue? That it's not the end, or there's any...
So if you touch a tavshel that has tam basar in it, we're not gonna be as makpid that you wash it before you touch a tavshel of gvina. Then if you can actually pick up cheese in your hand after you touched a chicken soup, we're gonna worry about the shuman that's left on your fingers in that case. Now, Amar Rav Yehuda Brei de Rav Chiya, Mipnei Amru Mayim Achronim Chova. So this goes back to this, which we'll discuss in a second. There's a Tosfos in the previous Amud. Why are Mayim Achronim Chova? Shemelech Stovit Yeshi Mesamet Ein Ayim. There's Melech Stovit in it that causes blindness to the eyes. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishtachach Kei Kurta Bekura. It's not in every, for every kur, there's a small amount of it that's in there, but it's so dangerous that we have to watch out for it. So Amar Rav Acha Brei de Rav, the Rav Ashi, Kol Melchomai. So it comes to measuring out salt. Again, Rashi quotes over here that the kol comes from the Aramaic word bekalu be'omra, which is be'yamodu be'omra, that they're measuring out salt. Where do you have to wash your hands as well? Amalai, lo mi bai, that's not a question. Any contact with salt will require this washing. So now, Amar Abai, Meresh, Avamina, Haidalom, Ashim, Mayim, Batrai, Alara. The reason that you don't wash Mayim Achronim onto the floor is Mizumzuma, because it's disgusting. You're washing off the residual dirt on your finger, that says on your finger, and then you let it flow onto the floor. That's disgusting. Nobody's gonna want that water. So Mar Mishum Ruach Ra'alayu. The real reason is because of Ruach Ra'ah that's on them. And that Ruach Ra'ah, if you pour it onto the ground, is problematic. And that's why we have to pour it into a clay, or we have to pour it onto, the other day it was onto wood chips, something on the ground that doesn't allow it to remain there. So now this has nafkuminat alocha. You have Tosafot on the previous amud that says Ve'anu lufi she'in lenu melech stomit matzui b'neinu. We don't have melech stomit anymore. Lo nahagu b'mayim achronim. Therefore, we don't have the minhag to wash mayim achronim. Wait a minute. We say in other places Ve'adam arhotam k'shem shemizuhum pasul avoda. Just like someone who is mizuhum, who is disgusting, is unclean, cannot do avoda. Kach yadayim mizuhamot psulim debracha. So two hands that are messy or not washed also are not roi lebracha. Hainu lahem shaya davar lahem chuva litol achar suda lefikach nekshavot kezumot. Tosus reads that to say, oh, why were their yadayim considered zuhamot? Because they had an obligation to wash mayim achronim. But if you don't have an obligation to wash mayim achronim, then your hands are not classified as mayim av zuhamot. So Tosus rereads it that way, which is not such an easy reading of the Gemara. Based on that, we have a machloket amongst the Rishonim. Tosvot and the Rishonei Ashkenaz Kedarkam always defend the prevalent practice. Brevin Blackhurst was not to wash Mayim Achronim, and the defendant, they say, well, we don't have Melech Stomit amongst us, therefore we don't wash Mayim Achronim. What about the Zuma? Zuma is just a derivative of whether you have to wash Mayim Achronim or not. Others, like the Groh, the Maharal, and those that are much more in tune with the spiritual ramifications of washing, say that over here, that even if you say there's no Melech Stomit, the Chamim were metakim Mayim Achronim, and there might be other reasons, including what we see here of Zuma, that you have to be roli the bracha. Number two, we saw Ruach Ra, that might also be an issue, that's why you can't have them pour on the ground. And because of all those other issues, that Mayim Achronim should still be a chova. It's not just revolve around Mayim Melech Stomit. Melech Stomit is one of the issues that the Chamim are attacking it, but the Tekana should stand even without the Melech Stomit, and that's why we l'alocha generally assume that we should wash Mayim Achronim, although if one doesn't wash Mayim Achronim, they can still bench. Nevertheless, general practice, or the minhag, probably should be to wash Mayim Achronim, or to cleanse one's hands before they make a bracha. They should feel like their mouth and their hands are clean in order to make the bracha, just because of the sense of coming before Hashem, without any other reason.
One of my rabbis always taught me that, according to the Gra, you don't need to do Mayim Achronim unless your hands are dirty, which gives you the equivalent to.
Right.
Is that true, or is the grass saying that
the grass was more along the lines of Zuma? The Maral is more along the lines of the, also of the Ruach Ra issue, which Zuma can come in two forms. Zuma can be physical Zuma. Zuma can also be a spiritual Zuma. I don't know if the grass is taking the side of the Maral as well, that there's also, in the spheres above, there's impacts here. You have the Ruach Ra issues. So I don't know how far to take that, the Gra. But you're right. If your hands are clean, then you wouldn't have it. Today, where we eat with utensils, that's another excuse not to watch Mayim Achronim. Is that we're not coming into direct contact with the food, therefore there's more reason not to wash the Mayim Achronim. So now we have a whole bunch of statements from Abaye along these lines that I first thought this and then I found out this. The reason that a person should not take anything away from the table while someone's in the middle of drinking, because you might cause him to choke. Because he's drinking, you're pulling it away, he wants to say something, and the liquid will go down the wrong part of his throat, and he'll choke on it, so that's, it was a danger to do something while he's in the middle of drinking. So then, Amar li Mar, so Rashi says over here, Mar is Rabba Bar Nachmeni, told me, Mishum de Kashi, the Ruach Tzarda, problematic for vertigo. So if he takes away and doesn't return it. If he takes away and puts it back, not a problem. If he takes it more than 4 amot away, when it's still within his sphere and he could get it back, that's only something that's part of the meal. Vuchna for a pestle and a mortar, the tavle for the spices, that's part of the sudata. So that's like a salt shaker and a pepper grinder that you have there at the meal. Those are still garden part of tzarchi sudata. You shouldn't take them away while someone's drinking. The fact that we pick up the crumbs from the floor is mishum nikiruta. Why do you sweep up after the meal? Because you don't want your house to be a pigsty, so you clean it up afterwards. So Amar Limar again, Rabbi Menachem Mishum the Kasha the Yuta, that it causes poverty. How Gavra Davim Mahadar Leish Soro Dan Yuta, the Tsar of poverty was chasing him down. The minister of poverty, and one of the angels was after him in order to make him poor. Velovi Yochele, he couldn't get a hold of him because Zayir and the Shvara Tuva. He used very careful about sweeping up the crumbs after himself. Yomachad Kara Lifta Ayibli. He was breaking bread over the grass. He says, I got him now. There's no way he's going to be able to clean up the crumbs after this in the grass. Finally, my day has come. I can make him poor. So, Bader Achiel, this man was a good yekub. After he finished eating, Aiti Moro, he brought a spade. Akarino the Libyele, he dug up all the grass that was there in Shadino Lanar and threw it into the river. So he was so mocked about the crumbs that even when he ate over grass, he dug up that piece and threw it into the river. Shame de Kamar, he heard him saying, Vai de Afke Haugavar Mibete. He says, this guy is causing me to lose my job. It's like taking me out of my house. It's enough, enough, enough already. This guy's not letting me get at him. So that you don't eat the froth that is on top of a poor drink. Because it's disgusting. It's not something that one would drink. It's not either, I don't know if the froth itself is disgusting or it's disgusting to drink that froth. And again, Rabbi Narcheni said to Mishum, the kashi, the karsum. Bad for Qatar. I don't know what that is. Right? Mishte kasha the karsam. If he drinks it, it's bad for this Qatar. Mincha. Alright, so Qatar, whether it means headaches or possible pain along the lining of the lungs, which is the pleurisy that's brought down by the arach. So Mara says, Mishte kasha the karsam. Minfach, if he blows the head off of the drink. Kasha the ratio, that's bad for headaches. Midachyo, if you swipe it off with your hands, kashalein in yuta, that causes poverty. So, maitakante, what should you do for this froth? What should you allow it to do? Shakeshkuya, let it settle by itself. The karsam dechamra, if you have this karsam that's caused because you did this to the froth of the wine, shechra, drink beer. The shechra, if you did it by the froth of beer, maya, drink water in order to cure it. De mayo, if you drink water, the froth of the water, late lantakanta, that has no cure. And the Gemara says, Vaino damrinche, that's what the colloquial saying is. Bata anyo azli anyuta. The poor get poorer, the rich get richer. Because over here, those who drink wine and beer have a solution to their problem. Those that poor people drink water, there is no solution to their problem. Amar Rabbi Mireshav, Amina Haidaluachla Yarko Mikisho de Asar Gino. The reason that you don't eat vegetables from a bundle that the farmer, the gardener put together, that he bound together, you don't take a vegetable out. You look like a glutton. You can't wait till it gets into the house or into the market. You gotta pull it out in the field, you're a glutton. Somebody Mar again, no, Mishum the Kashlik Shofim. Problematic for witchcraft, or sorcery. They were going on a boat, they were traveling. This non-Jewish woman said to them, let me come with you, let me sit with you. Why don't we share boats? So lo otva. They didn't bring her. So Amra Milta Asratul Arba. She said some cast some spell in the boat and was trapped. Amrainu Milta, they responded with a similar type of saying, and Shayua, and they freed the boat. Rajir brings 2 dayot what they did. first day it says that they used the Shem Hashem to free up the boat. The other one says, no, that they used Kshafim, neged the Kshafim. So that they were allowed to do it because they were just undoing what she was doing, and therefore they were permitted to do it, but they were using Kshafim as well. It's very interesting. So Amar Lahu, what's with you? I can't do anything with you guys. You don't wipe yourself, have to go to the bathroom, you don't use for toilet paper, pizzas of pottery. And you don't kill lice on your clothing. And you don't eat vegetables straight out of the bundles that the farmer has. So therefore, these are all things that allow sorcery or witchcraft to take place on you. And they didn't practice any of them. I mean, that's the Rabban or Makbid on these things. And therefore, they were not exposed and she couldn't get the better of them. So this we dealt with in the Gemara and Sanhedrin about the efficacy of sorcery, whether it's real or not real, black magic, all of these things, whether they're real or they're just illusions, without that machloket harishonim about how real these things are, that might be the difference in Rashi's opinion over here as to whether they use the Shem Hashem or Kshafim over here. The reason that they didn't eat vegetables that fell onto the table is because it was disgusting. No, because it gives you bad breath. That's why we don't do it. They don't sit under a pipe, a gutter, that lets water come down, because of the water that pours out of there, the dirty water that's coming out of there, it'll fall on you, and you'll get disgusting, because the water will pour on top of you. So, no, the mazikim like to shade them, like to hang out in that place. That's their kind of locale. Hanu shokulai, they were these schleppers. They were carrying a barrel of wine. They wanted to rest. So they wanted to rest. They placed it under the windpipe. Paka, it exploded. They came to Ravashi. Apik shipure. He took out shofarot. Shamte. And he put them into, excommunicated them to exorcise these demons from there. So they all showed up for him. Why are you causing problems over here? Why are you hurting these people? So What do you want us to do? They put down the barrel in my ear. I had to do something. You're not supposed to be around where people are regularly found. You're found in public places. That's not your location. That's not your locale. My bite. What are you doing over there? Atu deshanit. You were out of place. Zil shalom. Pay for the barrel that you broke because you were out of place. Right, give me some time to collect money and I'll pay it off. So Kavalei Zimna, they set a time where he'll come back and bring the money. Kimatu Zimna Yaakev, he obviously didn't show up. Kiat, and then he showed up. Amalei Amai Lo Atit Bizmanech, why don't you come in your proper time? Amalei Komile Ditzayer V'chotim V'kayel Umani Leitlan Reshuta L'mishka Minei Ad Mishka Chin Mide Defkera. We're not allowed to take from things that are bundled, tied, counted, meaning that things that have ownership exerted over them, that we can't take from. We can only take from Hefker, so it took me much longer to find Hefker that I could bring back to make this payment. You pour off the water from the top of the pitcher. I thought it was because of the problem of the sediment or bad stuff that was there. Again, no, the problem is that there's this water there that is polluted water, but polluted in terms of spiritual pollution, that there are shadim or problematics. There's a ruach ror mezikin in it. How bar shida? Davabe Rav Papa. There's bar shida that used to work in Rav Papa's house, like the golem. So here we have this bar shida that used to work with Rav Papa. Azalatu yimai minaro. He was going to pick up water from him from the river. Yaakev, he took a long time. Kiat amalei amai yakaft. What took you so long? Amalu adachalfa mayim harim. I needed to wait until the mazikim passed, the water, bad water passed. Adahochi hazino dekasharu mayim mayim puma dechatzva. Well, he saw that they were pouring off the water on the top of the barrel. Had I known that you always do this, lo yakve, I wouldn't have taken so long. So I don't know if the lo yakve means that he was trying to hurt him, and he was waiting for the bad stuff, and the fact that he poured it off in the end said it wasn't worth anything, because you guys pour this off in the end, or he was trying to protect Rav Papa, and therefore he said, I waited till the Mayim Harim went, but now I see that you pour off the top anyway, then you won't have the problem Mayim Harim. I should have just brought it back and not worried about the Mayim Harim. It's unclear which way this was going, but either way, the pouring off the top to get rid of this problem of the Mayim Harim. Okay, we'll stop over here.